time. End of privilege. Now the responsibility of the pulpit. At my high school, which was Clay High School in Oregon, Ohio, 5 miles on the east side of Toledo, Ohio, there were a few things that were inevitable. There would be at least one driving fatality amongst the student body every year, sometimes more. There would be at least one pregnancy amongst the student body every year, sometimes more. And if you wore green on Thursday, they would call you queer. I never could figure that out. I had no idea where that came from. It just became annoying, and it was pervasive enough that eventually, not wanting to be called queer, I was careful not to wear green on Thursday. It was really stupid, but there it was. And I mean, I hardly even knew what queer meant, except that it wasn't supposed to be good if you were one. Now, I'm taking a brief survey. Did anybody besides me go to a high school where if you wore green on Thursday, you were queer? See, that's what I found out. I thought I was alone, but I'm not. There's random, and there doesn't seem, it's not a regional thing. Okay, another thing. Did you have it where if you wore yellow on Thursday, you were queer? See, you were just queer no matter what you did at your school, right? That sounds pretty good, actually. I thought it was something, just one of those isolated, crazy things from my one high school. And I didn't realize that until I started, actually when I moved to New York to become a minister in Manhattan. And it was clear to me that gays were not going to march, not going to be allowed to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade again, and there's been a long tradition of that. And I said, well, that seems, again, seems kind of stupid, but there it was. And now, you know, I wrote a friend today. I first preached a variation on this sermon in 1990 about how you can't, you know, identify yourself as LGB in the St. Patrick's Day. 1990, and I'm still preaching that same sermon. You can do it in Queens, and I think even Boston has made some allowance, but God forbid not that goes past St. Patrick's. Now, what we did at the Fourth Universalist Society one year was invite the head of a group called the Radical Fairies to speak. And he spoke, and it was great because the first time I called him to see if he would come, he would be a guest speaker. I got his phone message, and his phone message was in Gaelic. So I felt okay. You know, I don't know how queer he is, but he's really Irish. It turned out he was also really queer, and so he came, and he was very eloquent, and he was just a delightful person, and he really made us understand that this was not about politics, except in the largest sense. It was about being accepted by your family. That's really what it was about. It was about being part of the culture that you were raised to. And then, shortly thereafter that, I read a book called Another Mother Tongue by Judy Grain, G-R-A-H-N. The subtitle is Gay Words, Gay Worlds. If you haven't read it, I recommend it, because she gets into things like, and that's where I found out that my high school wasn't alone in that if you wore green on Thursday, you were queer. But what she did was she impacted as to why exactly that was true. Here it is. Before the English, before the Roman, before even the Celtic invasion, the indigenous people of Ireland were a small, dark race of forest dwellers. Like many tribal people, they did not really understand or recognize paternity. They lived according to the seasons and were hunters and gatherers. When the Celtics came, they called this brown indigenous people brownies. Now there's a, as well there should be, an outrage about a football team called the Redskins. But actually, the Cleveland Browns mascot is a little brownie fairy guy, which, if you were around to be an indigenous person of Ireland, you could probably, it's more like the Cleveland Indians Wahoo. You know, it's kind of a weird sort of denigrating image. Then, of course, you have the Boston Celtics. And nobody, of course, they won the invasion, you know, but what is their logo? It's got a shamrock on it. You know, the Celtics came from northern Germany and stuff. They didn't have shamrocks. Well, anyhow, by the time the Romans invaded, the brownies had been driven deeper and deeper into the forest and learned to become furtive and not present themselves to the invaders. Now, the Romans, of course, were Catholic, and they discovered that the brownies had some sorts of skills and wisdom that could be useful but also sometimes scary. They knew which plants and tree barks could cure illnesses and such. Sometimes they almost seemed to be able to bring people back from the dead. And some of the brownie women knew which herbs for women to take to terminate pregnancies. And what they found was that sometimes the Roman women would go off into the forest seeking the secret of the brownies for this very reason. So because of this great power, the brownies were said to have some power over the fate of people. Now the Latin word for fate is fata, and soon these little brown people were being called fairies. Now the fairies were rather different from the Romans. The Roman Catholics practiced hierarchy and patriarchy because it was through patriarchy that they knew who could rightly inherit wealth and power and privilege. Whereas the fairies procreated without regard for patriarchy and had no inhibition about any kind of sexuality. The Romans wore white garments, bleached. The fairies wore green, using the natural dyes of the forest. Anybody remember the song Green Sleeves? Probably, you know, right up there with You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling for most popular song over the last 400 or 500 years. It's attributed to Henry VIII, but what isn't? It was actually probably written a bit after that, in Elizabethan era. One of the words to it is, "You do me wrong to cast me out discourteously. Who but Lady Greensleeves?" Now I ask you, how would a fine lady wearing white develop green sleeves? I will leave that to your imagination. The singer was not accusing her of simply rejecting him, but also of entertaining others. In other words, he was accusing her of acting like a fairy. St. Patrick had wealthy Roman parents. He was born in England, or more specifically, Scotland. He was taken as a prisoner as a young man in Ireland by pagans. When he returned as a priest, he used those pagan elements to teach Christianity. He used the shamrock as a symbol of the Trinity. He used bonfires at Easter, as the pagans did at Beltane. His prayers often contained pagan images. And the more Catholicism took root in Ireland, the farther the fairies retreated into the forest until they were almost never seen. But quite often there would be a woman, always strong, active woman, who was accused of consorting with fairies, of having their dark knowledge. They were called witches. They were such a threat to the church. Again, associating with their knowledge of those special herbs that could give a woman sovereignty over her own body. And these witches were sometimes hunted and killed. Joan of Arc, in her trial, was accused time and time again about having knowledge or visiting a fairy tree where witches and fairies gathered. Even knowing where such a tree was located was a capital crime. And who amongst Joan of Arc's strong woman has been suggested that she was a lesbian more than any other saint? Well, she was a strong, independent woman. Certainly she was a lesbian. Now, the fairies and strong women celebrated many Sabbats throughout the seasons, many gods and goddesses. One who survived many incarnations from Greece to Rome was Artemis, or Diana, the goddess of the hunt, the one who had stewardship over the life and death of the animals. If you're an herbologist, you know that wormwood's Latin name is Artemisia, and that wormwood, amongst other things, causes uterine contractions. Thursday is called after the god Thor, who had a big weapon, yeah. But he was also the god of oak trees and healing and fertility. So you see, from Roman times, it was not wise to wear green on Thursday. You could be accused of worshiping Artemis, or of being a fairy or a witch, an enemy of Rome. And that's why, over 1,000 years later, in the swamps of northern Ohio, children taunted each other by accusing them of being queer if they wore green on Thursday. The persistence of culture. Oh my goddess. The oppression of the brown indigenous people of Ireland has been so complete, they have become almost a completely mythological race. So we think kindly about the cute fairies and the leprechauns and the brownies, and we forget the genocide that got them mythological status and why gay groups are still banned on St. Patrick's Day parade. Now, you know the St. Patrick's Day parade is a private affair. For many, many years, it was sponsored and put on by the Ancient Order of Hibernians. It was specifically their parade, specifically a Catholic organization. And now, as I understand, the leadership has been moved to a special council in which, if anything, the cardinal has more power than he had before. Now, the Ancient Order of Hibernians was formed to fight oppression and prejudice against Irish Catholics in both the UK and the USA. Bit of irony there, what? For an Irish Catholic is someone who has survived by identifying with the Roman Catholic oppressor. A little bit, frankly, like African American. An Irish Catholic is someone who said, or his ancestors had said before, I am not a fairy. I am not a witch. I am a good Christian. So please do not kill me and my family. And one way to prove that you're not something is to accuse others of being one. The best way to prove you're not queer when I was a kid was what? Beaten up the kids that you thought were. Now the irony, what is the one act associated with St. Patrick's Day? Yes, drinking, and not just drinking. We're not talking the communion cup here. I sort of stumbled upon, well, that's a bad word to use. I once came across the St. Patrick's Day parade quite by accident while I lived. It was terrifying. I'd never seen so many drunken men where score wasn't being kept. It was amazing. And yet, in the court brief to Bengay's from the parade, it's called a private religious procession. It's a private religious procession about self-loathing. It's about knowing what you have sacrificed, that is, your true identity as a people, to survive any way you can. If you've been on the gay Pride Day parade, you'll know that St. Patrick's is locked up tighter than a drum. They're obviously afraid that a bunch of gay people are going to, like, lay siege to St. Patrick's. It looks like the Death Star. It's creepy. And as you go farther downtown, you get into churches who are open on Fifth Avenue, and they have lemonade, and they have water for the marchers, and they have umbrellas, and they celebrate, and they're part of it, and it's just very wonderful. So I think that keeping the queers out of the parade is not about morality or ethics or religion. It's about patriarch and power and hierarchy. And most of the leaders and the lovers of the parade have no idea of its origins or the historical context for their actions. St. Patrick never chased any snakes out of Ireland. There never were any snakes in Ireland. What he did was to chase the indigenous brown people of Ireland into extinction. And now the descendants of the Hibernians, in denying gay Irish people a place in their parade, deny an essential part of their heritage. For to acknowledge the fairies would mean remembering the ancient pain of their oppression and genocide. Now, who am I to say what a remnant of a conquered race should do? But rejection by their families is why 57% of transgender people attempt suicide. And it is why up to 40% of homeless youth are LGBTQ. According to the Massachusetts Youth Risk Behavior Survey, rejection by fellow students is why LGBTQ students are twice as likely to skip school and four times more likely to commit suicide than their heterosexual peers. Rejection is also why the mere fact of being an openly LGBTQ person results in higher stress and poorer health. So yeah, I conclude it's a big thing if you can't march and celebrate with your family. Until the Irish and all people embrace all of their children, we as a human race will not be whole. All people deserve a place at the table, a place in the choir, and a banner in the parade.